was a mighty nation, blessed above all of creation. It was a rare and precious pearl, conceived in faith and liberty, home of the brave, land of the free. It was the envy of the world. But this shining city on a hill has turned from the Creator's will and let evil take control. Now the reckless men who lead them want to strip away their freedom and to steal their very soul. Now it's smoke and mirrors, switching bait, criticize and confiscate, and let the guilty walk away. In this once righteous, godly nation, in the halls of
education, they forbid a child to pray. Ain't that the truth? And for those of you that have been sending me in emails asking me what the music is when we play in the beginning of our show, it's called Behold a Pale Horse by Mr. Charlie Daniels. And I have to say just briefly before you guys get back to the show that you know how many musical artists license their content, and when you use their content, those YouTube creators out there know you get hit with copyright this and that, and they try and claim your music. Charlie Daniels gave this song to the public completely free of revenue generation. He gave it from his heart. So, food for thought. Anyway, we're back with Ken Dose and Lori, Texas 101, who's been sharing with us some extremely important information tonight. So as Ken has been working with Lori behind the scenes for some time, and it's crucial that we, when we build this team together, we let people who specialize in these areas take it away. And for that reason, I'm stepping back tonight. I love being one of Ken's students, and I'm not too proud to say I've learned much from this man, and I think that my listeners out there, all of you, could too. So I'm going to take a step back, and Lori, the show is yours, the floor is yours, and Ken, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
And Ken, we were talking about the third step, the administrative step, and what we can do to get the Attorney General. We haven't gone through the other first two steps yet as well. So once we've established we're a natural person, what do we do? I mean, you can go in and authenticate everything. Say you don't have a mortgage. You know, just for any listener out there, say you don't have a mortgage. Why would they do it?
Why would they do it? They would do it to get their freedom. They would have to have to become a private person upon the land, and they would do it so that they can have to eviscerate all debt. You don't have to have any debt. There is no debt for people. Why? Because our name is trading every single day and making money and generating money. So the point being here is, well, yes, if everybody went and did this, it would be a dangerous thing. Because what would happen is we'd have a major, major economic collapse. But so, and I don't mean this to sound harsh or anything, but we do need a certain degree or a certain percentage of people out there. And what we're talking about here, let's face it, to many people out there who have not experienced any of the things that we've experienced, fighting foreclosure, fighting these banks, or any of this, they might be listening to this and think that we're absolutely flipping lunatics, and that's fine. If they do, that's fine, because people learn in their own time. You know,
right.
The people that are going to be doing this are going to be the people that have been hard hit by this, the millions of people, hopefully millions of people, that have lost their homes, that have gone through this stuff and have been slapped down by the courts and humiliated and have everything taken away from them. This is the way to get out of it. Now, for the people that have not experienced this and maybe don't have a mortgage or have a mortgage and are not in trouble or anything, they can do the same thing. I mean, there's nothing stopping any of us, none of us, from doing this. None of us. It's written in the code. It's everywhere in the code. Once you understand what you're dealing with here, and once you understand that we are lost at sea, and once you understand that we have to dock our vessel, put ourselves back on the land, and once you understand that we have to, that by being code with US UCC, we have to be good merchants in commerce. Okay, now some people say, well, we don't want to be any part of the US UCC. We don't want to be any part of the United States. You know what? You're wrong. You're wrong, because if you do that, and I know a couple people out there, and they know exactly who I'm talking about, that are advocating some very dangerous things out there by saying that you just need to make a couple statements and you're done, and you're going to get out of the system. Well, you know what? You're going to end up in jail, because you don't have the authority to be doing what you're doing, number one. And what I mean by authority is you've got to get certain steps. You can't just make your claim to life and then just say, I'm out of the system, and start suing people or start filing commercial liens. It doesn't work that way. You've got to authenticate that and get that recorded in the proper place, and you've got to come back and you've got to make all kinds of rebuttals to presumptive administrative processes, which are to electronic signatures, to revocation of signatures, to all kinds of rebuttals that you get filed in the county. So there's a certain number of steps that you got to take. It's not complicated, though. There's just step one, step two, step three, and these steps are being put together, and they're almost all together, and then we can have a standard set of processes by which to follow. The dangerous part about this is people that are so damn angry with the system and so damn angry with everything that they want nothing to do with anything, with government, you know, and that's a mistake, because what is in place, I don't want this to be taken the wrong way, but the system that they have in place is not a bad system, provided that we were not the ones that were being the commodity chips, provided we're the slaves in this thing. So the goal is, if you put yourself back on the land, take control of your vessel, you've got everything there. Everything's there. It's trading day after day after day.
I'm going to put it to a constitutionalist kind of in a different way. The 13th Amendment, I believe, is the one that says involuntary servitude. There shall be no involuntary servitude. And what we've done is, through our ignorance, and we've all been incompetent, means we can learn, through our incompetence or ignorance, we have consented for this. And now, thanks to so many people that have made mistakes, gone to jail, have done this for years and years and years, we're learning, all of us together, as a huge team of people around the world discovering this, we're learning how to do this properly without anger, without putting people in jail, having it tested by people that are very brave to make sure it is working, talking to the officials, and finding a way that we can take control and put ourselves back on the land, which is common law by the Constitution. Yes.
Lori, I have to say, first of all, I call that the difference between crash test dummies and test pilots, for one. And for two, they are not our officials. They are our representatives. Just saying.
Public funds. Exactly. Thank you. But would you agree with that, Ken? Yes, we're here. I think we're losing Ken again. Hello?
Darn, again?
Well,
just try and get him back. Try and get him back the same way we got him last time. We hope that those people that had that motor vehicle accident are okay. That apparently seems to be the source of his problems on his end. Anyway, there was a very bad motor vehicle accident at the foot of his property there, which was potent enough to knock out quite a few people's power. Anyway, while we're waiting for him, I figured that I would share with you folks, it is a little bit off topic, but it goes to a relevant subject. The video I just released, I released in a quality that was good enough for an audio. It is a clip from the last presidential debate and an exposure of Hillary Clinton's lies very plainly and very clearly. Okay. Well, you know, I'll save it for tomorrow. And then you have to get him back again. Okay. We heard that. We got Ken back there for a moment,
again,
and then we lost him again, and we're trying. There he is. There he is. Folks, for those of you who want
I'm
to
back
hear this
again.
Content,
sorry about that.
Yep. It's all right. For those of you that want to hear this content that I just referred to, I'm going to be, my plan was to share it with you on Monday, and that is what I plan to do. So you will still hear that, or you can go to RTR Truth Media, the YouTube channel, RTR Truth Media, of our podcasts and broadcasts, and you can bring it up yourself. It's a Clinton lies exposed on the last presidential debate. So I'm going to step back again and give Ken and Lori the floor.
You ready, Ken? I'm going to let you continue here.
I'm sorry. Hopefully I don't drop you. I'm walking on the street because I can't get it. When I'm in the house, the cell drops off, and I'm in the street, and it's still dropping. So hopefully I'm trying to keep you on.
Well, I want you to continue with your information so we can get as much as we possibly can out with what you guys have discovered.
Okay. Going back to this, like I said, there's three different ways we can do this. We already talked about the Attorney General. The most important thing here is to go into exclusive equity. Going back to the birth certificate. Going back to those two accounts that are created. So the accounts were split from the very beginning. So the only way, this is another reason why we can't go on the outside, because the only way that you can possibly win is by going into exclusive equity, because that's the only way that you can bring the books together. Everything that they've done here is all these accounts, all of these private keys, you know, that private cryptographic key that we talked about that they created when they stole our signature and converted it to an electronic digital form, that's all on the private side, okay? All these annuities that they're creating, all these wealth schemes that they're building, that's all on the private side. We can't touch that private side on the public side. There's no way that we can get it at the at-law side because, one, if we did, I would be seen as belligerence, and two, we'd probably end up in jail. Or we would end up in jail. And three, there's no way that the at-law side can entertain us because we're the live person. We're the living person. We're the living man or woman. The only place that a living man or woman can find any kind of relief is in exclusive equity. And the highest court in the land is probate. And we're the executor of all those accounts, so we have every right to grab those accounts. But we can't do it on the at-law side. We have to go into exclusive equity. And the only way to do that is to, first and foremost, authenticate and validate our life. That's step number one. What I'm doing here Monday, I am putting in my petition for decree, which is it's about maybe 20 forms total, but my whole package is probably going to be about 2 inches thick, because now what I can do is I'm including the indenture that shows how they split the accounts. I'm going to put the trust, the corporate, the status of the trust, and the declaration of trust that was created that creates the REMIC and the REITs that I am the issuer and principal of by this indenture. Now, these indentures, we've all got the same indenture. They all go through Wilmington, Delaware. They're all Delaware trusts. And so now by putting that in,
That's why most corporations go through Delaware.
Well, yes, they go through Delaware because I'm going to use a cuss word here, so excuse me. Because in Delaware, the trustees are the privileges, basically. The trustees have no power. The trust, you know, trustee is supposed to act in the for the best interest of the trust and the beneficiaries. A Delaware directed trust is not the case. The principal is directing the trustee what to do. This is one of the reasons why you see so many substitutions of trustees. One, because they're being directed by a Wall Street bank, and two, because they're shifting corporations. They're going from a private LLC, going from an LLC to a corporation, back to an LLP. That's why they're shifting back and forth. But see, these are things that we can't touch on the at-law side. We can't get to those accounts. There's no way we can open up those accounts. There's no way we can even plead or put into evidence anything or even any patents into this thing. But you go from the equity side. Now you've established that those accounts are used. Now you can pull in the indenture and say, here's the indenture that shows that I'm wealthy beyond my means. And here's the documents that specifically state that upon a foreclosure, that an assignment and a signature for assignment is to be an exact replica, no larger, no smaller, no signature, and it cannot be notarized. Why? Because they've already got an electronic notarial certificate sitting at the county. That's number one. Number two, it also shows that we have agreed to give up our estates and abandon our estates. Well, we never did that because we never agreed to it, because we never had the conditions to it. That's all laid out in the indenture. And most importantly, what's laid out in the indenture is they split the account, and they make sure that we have a will-be debt opinion issued against us. So it clearly shows that we are not debtors. But you cannot get this in on the at-law side. You can't. But now you come from the private side. Now we can put the patents in. I'm going to submit my indenture. I'm going to submit four or five Maryland's patents that clearly show how there's an SMA and a CMA, which is a collective management account and a service and a separate managed account, which shows how they separated all the accounts so that they can intentionally show that we are debtors. See, I can put all that stuff in now. I can't do that in the outlaw side.
Huh.
So we're dealing with a whole different. We're dealing with a whole different set of circumstances here. We want to make this as. And guess what? The banks can't follow.
Did we lose it again? You want to repeat that one?
The banks cannot follow us.
There you go. Banks cannot follow us into equity is what you just said. Is that correct?
That's correct. They cannot follow us into equity. And what we're doing is we're giving them a chance to, and all these documents will become available for everybody as soon as they're standardized and templated. They're pretty much all prepared. And these are things I can't, unfortunately, these are things I can't put out publicly because I'll be killed. That's what I'm on. If I just mass produce these things. So he's going to have to go through circles to get these things out there.
I'm glad that you mentioned that, actually. Ken, I just want to leave a message to those who would be listening that all of Ken's material has been sent through me to several IT professionals who have recorded this information on private servers, three of them throughout the country in undisclosed locations. And that if anything should happen to Ken, and I mean anything, this information will be released immediately to the public through several sources. So,
well,
for those of
you
listening, that's what we've been doing, and you know, you and I have talked about it already. So, I just want to let those who might be listening know that it would be fruitless at this point to harm a hair upon your head, because if they did, not only would they be exposing themselves even more, but they would only add fuel to the fire of their own destruction. So I just want to go on record for saying that for anybody who might be listening in.
Well, you know, there's another important point here, you know, and I think I make it pretty clear that I'm not acting in belligerence. I'm not acting against the government at all. If anything, what I'm doing is advocating to work the steps that the lawful steps to get us to back to where we're supposed to be, to put us back in the land, to do what we're supposed to do.
Of course.
And the people that are listening that would do me harm or might think of doing me harm, any kind of the three-letter agencies or anything, I would say this to them. You have children, you have a wife, you have a husband, you have kids, you have nephews, nieces, parents, cousins. You know, this is not what's happening. What we're describing here is not exclusive to us. It's exclusive to everybody that works for these three-letter agencies. It affects you as well. You know, if anybody is listening, anybody is paying attention to me or monitoring me, please take note. This is happening to you as well. You are being railroaded, and you are being raped, robbed, and pillaged as well. We are not belligerents. None of us are belligerents. All we want to do is we want to get our lives back. That's all we're doing. And we're doing it in a peaceful manner. And what I'm advocating and the direction that we're going here is completely non-adversarial. The administrative process is adversarial, but it's a private adversarial process, as is equity. And so what we're doing here...
I think we lost Ken again, but I wanted to put something into this, Tom.
Yeah,
no fear. Don't have fear when
fear whatsoever. Go ahead, Lori. Say what you were saying.
When you're doing this and you're doing your homework, you're asking the correct questions, you're getting things pre-approved before you file them, you're not doing paper terrorism. When you're going through and doing your homework, there's no fear.
Well, you know what? What you're doing is you're not threatening anybody. You're not filing commercial liens against anybody. What I've done and what we're doing, when you file your rebuttals, when you file all your various notice of trusteeships and that there's a variance of law and so on and so forth, when you're filing that into the county, you're putting them on notice that you're rebutting your signatures. You're rebutting everything. But there's something else, though. There's something else that occurs here. What else occurs here is you're putting the county and those people working there on notice that, hey, you know, you figured them out, and they're stepping aside. I'm finding in my county they're stepping aside because they don't want to be personally liable for this stuff.
Here's another thing that's
beautiful about this: the way that I think.
Can I interrupt you? So you can, yes. I can tell you from personal experience. I know someone who is. Pretty much freed themselves not knowing what they did. I've gone to the county. Their records were sealed as a national security issue. I went to the county and I mentioned that I was aware of what was going on. I was very respectful. I did not threaten them. I did not try to push anything sovereign citizen or whatever. But once they knew that I knew the deception, they became very, very pleasant, very, very respectful, and there was no fear.
What happens is it changes. When I sat down in camera with my judge, it's almost as if they respect you now because you've done what you're supposed to do, and they have to because now you're meeting man to man and with his robe off and everything, and you're dealing with issues in common law essentially, really, and that's the only way to get to common law. To get to these principles is to go into chancery, because what we're dealing with here at the end of the day, we're dealing with common law to English estates, period. And that is on the basis that you have a husband and a wife, and you have, assuming that the husband passes first, the wife has survivorship rights until she passes, if you can stay on the land. Well, that kind of doesn't go well with their plan, so what they've done is they've created codes and statutes and uniform codes and bar game plans, American Bar Association's game plan, to screw us and to build massive wealth off of us. And it's all right within the administrative code. All we've got to do is look at it. You know, we've been so damn busy flooding foreclosures and flooding this as a debt, and that's the biggest problem. The biggest problem is we believe these SOBs. Now it's time to stop and say, no, we don't believe you anymore. These are the facts. Understand the facts, what we're dealing with here, and we can railroad these guys in a number of different ways, and we could do it administratively, and we could do it in private. So here's the deal. Here's the deal. So what you do, to set this up nicely, I think it is set up nicely, you challenge the subject matter jurisdiction on the at-law side. So what you do with that is you force the courts to prove that there's jurisdiction, but more importantly what you're doing with that is you're establishing that, hey, you don't have any immunity, okay? You have no immunity whatsoever. You have no authority. You're acting as a debt collector, and I'm going to come after your bonds, and I'm going to come after your liabilities. How do you establish that? So then what you do is you go into equity, and you give, and this way you're going into exclusive equity, into chancery, to do the right thing on the maximum of equity. And if by chance the judge doesn't want to be cooperative, okay, fine. You don't want to be cooperative? Fine. And then you start hitting them under administrative processes. You start hitting them under bonds. You start hitting them under liabilities. Now ask yourself a question here. Do you think for a million years that a judge is going to risk his career, risk his pension to fight you and not let you go through chancery inequity?
Absolutely, they will not do that. And I think that's pretty
they will not do that. They will not.
I think
they will
yeah,
not do that for one person. They won't do it for a handful of persons. They won't do it for 100 persons because they're not going to risk that. And another thing further, too, and this is all pragmatic thinking right here. Another thing, too, is they're not going to risk the counties. They're not going to risk the agencies because if they decide, if they want to fight you on chancery and not and going into equity, what's going to happen is they're putting the risk of the agency and the state at risk for liabilities, right? So pragmatically speaking, they're going to let you pass. Now, number two, what happens? I said earlier, we're going to let the banks go. And we are going to let the banks go. We're going to let them go. And here's why. Because for every dollar, if I represent $1 in a foreclosure, every dollar that's foreclosed upon generates about $1,000 for the state and counties in terms of revenues, pensions, bonds, so on and so forth. So the more people that execute going to equity, the more money that's taken away from the county or from the state and county, right? So what's going to happen after a while? The state's going to be a little upset. Now on the other side of this coin, we've got transmitting utilities, which are being administered by the banks as well. Maryland, J.P. Morgan Chase, Morgan Stanley, so on and so forth. They're pipelined into the state through the agency contracts through companies called like Level 3 Communications, for instance. So now what you've got here is you've got people that are taking money away from the state because they're going into equity and they're getting on with their lives. So now the state's going to be clamoring because now they're going to be hurting for money. So they're going to be going at the banks. They're going to be going at the transmitting utilities. Well, guess who's in the middle between those two? Yes, the American Bar Association. Let them eat each other. Let them eat each other.
Exactly.
While we get on with our lives. I'm telling you, folks, you got to spend some time. You spend time with I would strongly suggest, and I'll post it up again on my Facebook page, the Model Business Entities Act or Model Business Corporate Act. I get mixed up a little bit at times because it's modified. Two different separate acts, but it's named different in different states, but it's the same damn act. And what it is, it's the playbook that the bar uses to make us stateless people. And it's the playbook for how they manipulate our political status, our life-death status, and how their wealth-building schemes are being engineered. Now, here's something very, very important. I can't post this because people are going to love this. It's going to be beautiful because it's going to put the Secretaries of State in a state of panic. Within one of the revisions in this Model Business Entities Act, I think it was 2014-2015, the American Bar Association, with its arrogance, stated something to the effect to the Secretaries of State, stating that we know that what we're asking you to do is illegal. And what I mean by that is all this changing of statuses. But in the interest of commerce, you're going to do it anyhow. This is in text, folks. You know how big that is? That's a hell of a statement.
And while we're talking about this, I kind of have to crack a joke. But we have a Secretary of State running for president. Yeah, we have a Secretary of State who knows all of this information running for president right now. I think that's one of the key factors with all of us that know what's going on.
Well, I'm not talking about John Kerry. I'm talking about state secretaries of state.
But we have an ex-Secretary of State that does know all of this, running for president, and no one, not any one of us, is saying anything about it, and we are losing a huge opportunity. On that
When I was down in Florida, a very good friend of mine down there, let me tell you, I want to give a shout-out to people in Florida. They're great people. I've got some wonderful, wonderful friends down there, dear friends. Your allies that are going to be very helpful in this.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
As a regular listener to Republic Broadcasting, you certainly understand the times and circumstances that we are living in. You certainly understand that the good times are over, and you certainly understand what we are heading for. Though we do not know what exactly is going to happen, we must assume that it's going to be a disaster. Are you prepared for that mess? Go to www.bugoutpanama.net. and get the necessary information on our growing community of awake and prepared individuals, just like you. At www.bugoutpanama.net, you will learn how we are preparing on our farm, Finca Bayano, for what is coming. Emigrate while you still can to our village, where survival is of the utmost importance. prepare. Don't despair at www.bugoutpanama.net.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extendivite, a seven-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
While the large majority of Americans have never heard of cryptocurrency, it is the medium of exchange of the future that has already begun. On the other hand, the large majority of RBN listeners are very aware of the corruption within the Fed and the trillions in counterfeit money and credit it has created. Well, would you like to do something about this? OneCoin, the fastest growing company of any kind in world history, will pay you to help do away with the Federal Reserve. Henry Ford didn't invent the automobile, but he surely developed many great improvements in the industry. In 1927, talking pictures made silent movies obsolete overnight, and email has practically done away with the need for a fax machine. With cryptocurrency, Bitcoin became the pioneer in 2009. But now OneCoin, as the first ever gold-backed cryptocurrency, has moved to the top of the industry in only 2 years, and its impact on the financial world could be devastating to the Fed. Bill Gates and Richard Branson and all the jillionaires are already acknowledging that this system of paying for goods and services is becoming what will be recognized as the new worldwide reserve currency. For more information, call Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911. Again, that's Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911.
Welcome back, you guys. Resurrect the Republic. Tom, we must have lost him there for a minute. Ken, are you still on?
Yeah, I'm still on.
We have a caller, Beverly, on the line. Yes, I can hear you. We have a caller, Beverly, on the line. We told everybody the last 30 minutes we would take callers. Are you ready for a question from Beverly?
Sure.
Beverly?
Umu, I don't have a question other than I didn't catch that Secretary of State.
Somebody wants to listen to you.
You can't hear
me? I can't hear you.
Beverly?
Hello, is this better?
Yes, it's a little bit better. Go ahead. Did you have a question?
No, I don't have a question. Just hello, Ken.
Hi.
I sometimes would like more information about that Secretary of State, but in Maine here, it's pretty late. It's almost midnight.
Well, we'll try to get that out as fast as we can. That's what they are working on, and we appreciate you calling in, Beverly.
Thank you.
Okay. She actually asked him for some of the information on the Secretary of State's office. And when he gets that printed out, we will get that out to everybody. I know that will be out on Resurrect the Republic. And then we also
I get the feeling I'm kind of over talking over you today, tonight, and that's because my cell phone. So if I am, I apologize.
Not a problem. We always work through it. There's also we have another caller. I believe is me three is what came across to me. Are you? Okay. And then we had John Mesmer was on hold as well.
Can you hear me?
John?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
How you guys doing? Hey, here's a question that's been nagging on me the whole time I've been listening, which is, when do they actually take the money out of your estate? In other words, is there a point where it's too late for you to claim those funds that are in your estate?
Well,
is this just
cruel? There is a point. And let me tell you a little story about a friend of mine, and I'll illustrate this by a story and an explanation. A friend of mine in Texas, she went down to the same, she was born in the same county that she had a foreclosure was conducted upon. And she had lost her case. And her case is on appeal. So she was relatively safe from getting it evicted while it was on appeal. But what she did was she went down and she ordered a copy of her certificate of live birth. And they gave her a hard time on it, saying, well, what do you want it for? What do you need it for? And she said, just give it to me. That's my right to get it. I want to order it. And not more than 4 hours after she had done this, what had happened was the judge at the lower court level basically came in, disregarded her appeal completely, and ordered and went ahead and gave a writ of execution to have her evicted from her house. And she was, the following morning, she was evicted from her house. Now, to answer your question, yes, the reason why they did that was they knew that she was on to them, and they wanted to clear and liquidate those estate accounts before she could get to them. So the answer to your question is yes. The point that's too late is if you've been evicted from your house. Now, that being said, that does not mean that you cannot come back and recover your property back or any other properties. But all the private side estates that they have already liquidated and stolen from you, you won't get those back. But what you will get back is you'll get back all your other properties and you'll have control of your properties. Now, I think in the interest of, I said earlier that we're going to let these banks go. And the interest of the sweet revenge here is to try to get these, try to get your petition and decree and get all that done prior to being evicted from your house, because when that happens, they're stuck. They can't move.
It sounds like you're kind of assuming that somebody's losing their house. What about us that have a mortgage, but we're not losing our house? I'm not even really looking at it from a mortgage point of view. From, you know, these tens of millions of dollars they're making trading on our fiction, if you will.
Right.
Where do those monies go? Who gets them? When do they get them? And do we
out to them at some point.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If you have a mortgage or you don't have a mortgage and you're not in foreclosure or anything, you can go in, you can claim a petition, but you can do the same thing that we're doing now, if you're not in foreclosure, and capture your accounts and take your estates away from these people. Because what they've done here is, that's what they've done. They've built up all these secret accounts, all these LLCs, that are wealth building to our estates. That we can go back in and strike anytime we want, because that's our right to do that. And to do that, it means that we have to put ourselves, because remember, go back to the lost at sea thing. We're lost at sea. We don't exist. We don't exist on the land. And as such, what they've done is they've taken our estate accounts and they've grown those accounts and taken care of those accounts for us. So put yourself back on the land and we grab our accounts and we take everything back. That's what we're entitled to do. Now, they've done a brilliant job of keeping us away from this because of their fraud and lies and deception. So to answer your question, we can come back and take it at any point in time. All we got to do is come back and put ourselves back on the ground and take those accounts, make claim to those accounts, and do it properly.
I guess my focus is more on the fact that...
Another way to look at it, because I always think outside the box. I'm just a mom that's learned this. I'm just a mom. You have a child that's being taken away from CPS. Now, they've turned you into a partner and partner, not a husband and wife. What then is your child? And your child is not alive. You are not alive. You are a dead entity. This can go also into what is most precious beyond money, because one of the conversations Ken and I have had is, we're not so concerned about the money and being rich doing this. This is not a greed factor with us. It's a factor of caring about our fellow mankind. And one of the ways I look at this is there are a lot of people who they are coming after their children. And when we look at it partner and partner, there is not a legitimate child there that you can come in under common law. You have a bastard child that they can take away. So... When you put yourself back on the land as a husband and wife, you're protecting your most precious cargo, so to speak, your child. So you have to think outside the box and not look at it just as mortgages, but look at what your key issue is outside of the box and see how you can apply it to that as well. That's what brought me
up. I'm glad you brought that up. If anybody's going to do this for money or for wealth, it's the wrong idea to do it for. You're not doing this for that. This is a spiritual journey for yourself and for your family. It's to secure the well-being of yourself and your children and to keep their mitts off your children as a money-making tool for your children. It's human trafficking at its worst. That's what we need to expose, and that's what will get exposed at the administrative level. And what's going to happen here by going the way that we were talking about with this plan here, if you want to call it that, is by each person going into equity or each person that's going at them administratively, what we're doing is we're injecting a venom into their system. And that venom is going to poison them. It's going to poison the whole system. They're going to eat each other. And eventually it's going to come all out. It's going to break out in the public. But we got to take care of ourselves and our children first. That's the reason why we're really doing this, is to secure ourselves. Because let's face it, we're being raped. We are being gang raped. Our children are being stolen. We're being trafficked. Human trafficking scheme, it's got to stop.
Exactly.
And you're not going to do this at the law side. There's no one in the world you can even touch from that law side.
But check it out. I totally respect all that, and that's honorable and great. But in most of these discussions, we seem to be talking about all the money they're making off of us. So it's not about greed. It's not about, you know, wanting to get rich, going through this process. But I want to know what I'm with. I want to know how much money are they really making? Who's making it?
Let me stop you at that point. You mentioned money. Let's not say that there's no such thing as money. Money doesn't exist. Money is coins. What we're dealing with here is we're dealing with electronic book entries. We're dealing with credits. That's all we're dealing with. We're dealing with credits. So when you go through this, when you talk about how much money we're talking about, it's how much credits are you talking about? What we're talking about at the end of the day, when you navigate this position and you go through equity, what's your eventually, what you're settling on, if you want to call it a settlement, what you're settling upon is you're getting your exclusive credit line, and you're getting your credit line, an unlimited credit line, if you will, that secures your future, that secures your children's future. And if you go and take a, we're talking a black card, a white card, these rechargeable credit lines, that if you go and go to the ATM and say cash out for it, you'll get thrown in jail. Because, one, there is no money, and two, if you take cash out, you've breached trust. Because everything we're talking about here is credit, full faith and credit.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. That's important to understand that.
And
that was a good explanation.
Yeah, exactly. And you get your true property, which is yourself, back.
Right, right. Right. It's not about, you know, because at the end of the day, there is no, I mean, everything's fabricated. Everything is derived. Everything is, we're dealing with people that, we're dealing with some sick-ass people here that are valuing our lives. And the more they can drill us into poverty, the more they can take our children away from us, or the more that they can deem us as bad parents, or the more that they can drill our butts into bankruptcy, the further they drill us down, the more valuable we become to them. Because our death, our financial incapacity, our legal death, not our actual death, but our legal death pays them millions in life settled annuities. We're not talking about monies that are due after we are dead. We're talking about monies that we can have, value, credit value that we can have now while we are alive. And that's what they're after. They're after these life settled annuities. They don't want to see us physically dead. They want to see us legally dead because, one, they take away all of the estates that they, the massive wealth they built up in our estates, and two, these SOBs, they are acting as administrators for our public benefits. So they're acting as administrators as a contractor to the federal government to dole out our public benefits as wards of the state. So, I mean, the whole thing is just a blatant fraud and human trafficking scheme. It's disgusting.
Are there individuals profiting off of this fraud, or is it more governmental and corporate government and corporate banking that's benefiting from this fraud, or
here's why they're getting away with it. They're getting away with it. What we've got here is we've got a system in place of what in the past we called secret liens. And in the past, the courts have castigated and have been abhorred by secret liens. So what did these guys do? They said, okay, well, let's go put them in the revenue stream. Let's put them in the money stream. So what you do now is you got judges' pensions that are being padded. You got county employees that are getting compensation and bonuses for every foreclosure that goes through. You got state agencies that are benefiting by getting bonds released because of foreclosures that go through. So the governments are benefiting from this because they've been put in the money chain. The people that are making the real money at this thing are all these bankers, Wall Street people, brokers, and all these scumbuckets that would sell out their own mother for an additional nickel. And that's the problem here. The problem is our whole entire system, internationally speaking, is not. It's like the Fed is totally. The Federal Reserve is irrelevant. It doesn't have any relevancy anymore. And I'll tell you why. Back in the day when networks were being first developed, Merrill Lynch. And I hate Merrill Lynch. I can't stand Merrill Lynch. I would love to see Merrill Lynch taken down because they're the ones that set up this system. They're the ones that have set up the system to steal the wealth of our families, the wealth of our children. They're the ones that have killed off the seed of our families, and they're the ones that have set up the system to steal our estates away from us. And when networks were first being developed, Merrill Lynch was right there. And Merrill Lynch's big dream was to be the bank of the world. Their method for doing that was to establish private networks so that they can go into each and every country and completely bypass the Federal Reserves of every country, the central bank of every company or of every country. So what they've effectively done here is they've effectively eviscerated any kind of importance for the Federal Reserve because like I said, there's no money. Everything is market driven and it's all based on private networks. Private exchanges that are building value that's derived value. It's not even real. if that makes sense. I hope that does, because it's very important to understand that concept.
It does make sense. Makes
your credit
sense.
In the video game.
Yeah, very good. Exactly.
Sorry. It goes back to the Matrix. It's the credits in the video game. Yes. They're just playing the game with us. And that's what makes it
sick. Yes. It is a game. You're exactly right. You're exactly right. It is a game. There are literally patents out there that simulate a game scenario, like a Monopoly game, that daylights into the real world. And that daylighting into the real world is taking our properties away from us and stealing it away from us. We've got to realize that we're in the 21st century. We've got to realize that we're dealing with digital assets. We're dealing with an international system of trade that functions through the internet. It's borderless, which means that we are stateless, and that's why they're able to get away with what they're getting away with. They're getting away with it because we're not being cognizant of the fact that we exist in a non-human avatar form, if you will, if you want to look at it that way. And there's thousands of mini-me's. That's why we're so damn valuable. It's because we're trading, and John mentioned it right. He's exactly right. We're trading day in and day out on these things. Well, damn it, if we're trading day in and day out on these things, and it's us that's being traded, why the hell shouldn't we have the benefits of that? We should be have the benefits of that. And the way to take benefits of that is to put ourselves back on the ground, come back and say, we're not lost at sea anymore, and commandeer our assets, and do it by decree through the private side, through chancery, and get on with our lives, and live our lives.
Wow.
And that's what everybody wants to do, leave us alone, quit trying to
We've got to stop fighting these guys at the at-law side. We can't win, period. We can't win. We've got to look ourselves in the mirror, and we've got to say, my God, I've been lied to. The past 10 years of my life has been a lie. And it's a hard thing to swallow. It's a very hard pill to swallow. But, folks, that's the reality of it. The fraud, the deception, everything I'm talking about is right before our eyes. I mean, I don't say anything that I can't back up. I can prove everything to anybody that I'm talking to, but the first step is with each individual person stepping outside the box and saying, "Wait a second here, my reality is not true here." And because what they've done here is they've done a brilliant job. I mean, I give them credit. They did a brilliant, brilliant, brilliant job of deceiving us. They've got us to look in one direction and to ignore all other directions. We've got to open our eyes. If we open our eyes and we pop our head above the ground, we're going to see an amazing world before us that is nothing like we thought it was. Nothing at all.
Yeah, well, they did an incredible job of leveraging the normalcy bias in us all. And they built up that normalcy bias so that, you know, everybody's running around thinking life is normal, things are normal, things are the way the media tells us they are, nothing's wrong, nothing to see here, move along, these aren't the androids you're looking for, everything's fine, you know.
And you know what, at the end of the day, let's face what we're really going to do here. Are we going to change the world? Maybe, maybe, maybe. But see, what we're going to, most of us, and anybody that follows this route is going to find their relief and equity, and they're going to find it being sealed. And it will be sealed. But, by planting and injecting that serum or that venom within the administrative side, it's going to grow. And it's going to, so what we're going to do here is we're going to force the system to look at itself. You know, there's going to be, at the end of the day, maybe, I don't know, 10 million, maybe 20 million, maybe not, maybe even a fraction of that is going to follow what we're talking about here, because they haven't experienced it yet. Because the people, now see what's going to happen there. People say, oh, a big collapse is coming, a big engineer, you know, we're going to have a bigger economic collapse. We probably are. But let me tell you something, it's going to be engineered. Okay, Wells Fargo, that whole thing that went out with Wells Fargo is engineered. It was engineered to appease the people, okay? And at the end of the day, who gets anything? Do we get anything out of it? No, we don't got nothing out of it. the bank still lives another day. So Trump is gone. Big deal. You know, I've come across SEC filings that literally say, it was between JP Morgan Chase and Wells Fargo, as a matter of fact. And the SEC filing said, I mean, it said it right there in the filing. It said JP Morgan Chase will take the fraud allegations and take the hit this time. On the next occasion, Wells Fargo will take it. Why? Because they're all in bed together.
And Wells Fargo everything is thick right now.
What's that? I'm sorry, I missed that.
Wells Fargo is taking it right now.
Exactly. Exactly. They're all in bed together. Merrill Lynch is the parent. They're a pseudo parent. Wells Fargo is a securities administrator. They're the keeper of the books, and they're also the master servicer. Deutsche Bank is the custodian. And they'll always be the custodian. HSBC Bank is the clearinghouse. JP Morgan Chase is a collateral trade. They're dealing with electronic documents. Bank of America is a scumbucket of the world who has merged and represents all the servicers. These banks are all in bed with one another, and they've all got a certain position in here, and they're all sharing profits and losses together. Because guess what? There's no money. It's all electronic guarantees and electronic entries and everything. That's all it is. So it's going into the day, the banks, at the end of the day, the banks don't give a crap who they're transferring the letter of credit for. Okay? The banks will survive. Let the banks survive. I don't care about that because the banks surviving is good for us. The people that need to come down is the Bar Association. Those are the people that need to be brought down.
And guys, we're getting close to the end of the show. I wanted to give you a few minutes, Ken, if there's anything you want to say, direct people to. I know you've got your Facebook page. If you want to put a couple of closing words in before we do end, now's your time.
Okay, well, first of all, thank you for having me on. I apologize for the power outage and probably my interrupting and static on the cell line. I don't have a good cell line up here, so I apologize for that. So I hope the broadcast went smooth, and I hope that people are understanding what I'm talking about here. Every time I get on one of these shows, I promise myself that I'm going to slow down and kind of keep it at a nice little a steady pace and not get excited. But I think I'm convinced I can't fight nature. My nature is that I'm very passionate about this subject. I do talk fast. I do apologize for that. I try to slow down, and it's my passion that keeps me, doesn't allow me to control that. That being said, we can change things. We can change things. We can do things. We can do great things for ourselves. But we have to really face reality here, and we have to realize that we cannot fight the courts. We cannot fight on the at-law side. This is a journey, a spiritual journey, that each one of us has to undertake and undergo on our own. It's not difficult. Yes, it's difficult to understand. It's difficult to grasp, but the process is not that difficult. These are things that we have to do for ourselves, most importantly for our children. There's a lot of evil in the world. There's a lot of evil in the world. But it's going to get changed one person at a time, and that's how we have to do this. And I'm very happy, actually, the way things are going. I didn't want a part of any of this stuff years ago. I wanted to walk away from this many times because it's bad. But I'm happy that I'm very, very happy that I'm seeing people wake up to this and that people are understanding this stuff, and I couldn't be happier for that. So for people to get more information, like Tom said, there'll be a page put up, and I do have to make time for that to get that accomplished. But in the interim period, anybody can go to my Mortgage Equals Copyright Derivative page, and there's a lot of information there. And just learn, people. Just learn. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Resurrect the Republic on Republic Broadcast Network. We will see you guys Monday. Thank you.
Thank you all.
Good night, everybody. Yeah. Thanks, Ken.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Welcome to the face. Welcome to the face of the new democracy. Here in the land of the not so free. Oh.
Republic Broadcasting Network.